Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. We can start from there. In fact, I want us all of us to read together. Can we do that? I didn't hear you. Can we read together? All right. So we're going to read from verse 18 down to the end. So DJ, 1, 2, go. DJ, verse 19. Go. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh. Next verse. This is now. A man, his father and his mother. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to look at verse 24 a bit closely. That's where I'm building on today. 24. I want us to read this now together. 1, 2, go. Some people are not reading. I want everybody to read now. 1, 2, go. Okay, today I'm going to just talk a bit about the fact that marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a what? Covenant. I understand that you understand what covenant is in this church, and you must understand that marriage itself is a covenant. In fact, God doesn't really sponsor normal relationships. Every relationship God sponsors or encourages are always covenant relationships. God himself doesn't even like ordinary friendship. Every time he was interested in entering a relationship with anyone, it was a covenant relationship. That's just how he behaves. You know why? Because a normal relationship will not deliver the day you need it the most. But a covenant relationship, by its design, it's meant to deliver fully and maximally all the benefits in it. Are you here, somebody? So God loves covenant relationships. And marriage itself is a covenant. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. What they were saying here, one flesh means one person. Are you here, somebody? One flesh means what? One person. They are saying two people will become what? One. In mathematics, that is wrong. But in mathematics, it's correct. Are you here, somebody? In mathematics, 1 + 1 is equal what? 2. But in mathematics, 1 + 1 is equal what? 1. God is saying, I want two of you to come and join and become one person. It's only a covenant that can make two people become one. He didn't say two of you become two. He said two of you become one person. The word flesh means person. He said one person, the two, shall become one. From the day you marry, God no longer sees both of you as two people. He sees you as one. You have become joined. He sees you as one person. Hallelujah. If two people come to the altar to wed, they come as separate individuals, but you know what happens? They both die on the altar and one person resurrects. Is somebody getting this? If, for instance, I and my wife, my name is Kingsley, my wife's name is Mildred. The day we came to the altar, Kingsley as an individual died. Mildred as an individual died, then Kindred resurrected. This is very important. Like I said, it's important we understand what was in God's mind when we designed marriage. A lot of the thing we are doing is not following God's design at all. That's why we're not getting God's blessing the way He said it. Kingsley ceases to exist. Mildred ceases to exist. Kindred rises. He says, he will see you as one person. From the day you marry, you have entered a covenant with another person. And in a covenant, two people become one. You are no longer separate. So from that day, words like my should end and words like our should start. Nothing like my money again. It's our money. Nothing like my phone. It's our phone. Glory to God. Yes, I understand that most people, you see, the reason why we are not, even as human beings, the reason why we are not enjoying all of God's best is that we keep moving away from God's design. We keep moving far and far and far from God's design. God had His own plan. The day you line up with His plan, you will enjoy everything He said you will enjoy. Two shall become one person. One person. He no longer sees you as two people. He sees you as one. In fact, there's a mystery to it. When they first created mankind, you know, Adam and Eve were together in one. You know that, Abby? I don't want to start reading long story in Bible now because we still want to pray a lot today. You see it in Genesis 5. You even see it in Genesis 1 and 2. They say when God made man, He spoke to them and blessed them. They were actually two in one. Then He separated them. Where did He bring Eve from? Where did He bring Eve from? So Eve was inside Adam. So they were one. He separated them. Now for them to come back together willingly as one again. Did you understand? They were one before. He separated them. Then now they are going to become one again. So it's not new. You were one person before. God is just bringing you back to that original state. The two shall become what? One. That term is a covenant term. And it's talking about becoming one person. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. It's not an association. It's not just a union. It's a covenant. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The two shall become one. And every time, in fact, if you look at the demands of marriage, it only makes sense when it's a covenant. Is somebody getting this? We'll look at scriptures and see some of that as we go on. Of course, you know the scripture in Malachi chapter 2. Let's see it there. Malachi chapter 2. So you know what was happening? God was no longer blessing their finances. Let me start from verse 12. Okay, look, verse 13. Can you give me NIV version if you can, DJ? Verse 13, NIV. I call the people that miss scripture DJ. DJ, give me NIV now. Track 2. You don't have it. Okay, let me read my King James. You don't have it. He says, and this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with what? I can't hear you. Covering the altar of the Lord with what? Tears. With what? And with what? Crying out. In so much that he regarded not what? Free anymore, or receive it with goodwill. You see, at this time, the people were complaining because they were no longer getting blessed. In those days, when God doesn't receive your offering, you will know. It's not like now, that offering basket will receive it. But God is not going to bless you for it. Especially when you're acting in disobedience. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? In those days, when God was not receiving your offering, you will know. So they were noticing that God was no longer blessing them and they were crying. Things were tough. So they came to God to cover the altar with tears, with crying. with shouting, with wailing. Now, see the next verse. He said, yet you say, why? Why are you suffering us? Why are you not receiving our offering? They say, God answered them, said, because the Lord had been what? Witness between what? You and what? The wife of your youth. Against whom thou hast dealt what? Treacherously. He said, yet is she what? Thy companion and what? The wife of your covenant. You have signed a covenant with her. You have signed a covenant with her. If you understand this, number one, you will not even just marry anybody. Because you'll be careful of who we are joining with. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Marriage is a covenant that joins two people. They become inseparable. They become one person before God. No more my. It becomes our. Everything becomes our. Let me run through seven things quickly before we start to pray. Differences between a covenant and a contract. That might help you appreciate what God is saying. Differences between a covenant and a contract. What most people know is a contract, and they are using that to judge what a covenant is. A covenant and a contract are different. Is the thing you sign by paper is not the real thing. The one you sign before God is the real one. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Marriage is a covenant. I'll give you seven differences quickly. Number one, in a contract, you seek your own good. While in a covenant, you seek the good of the other person. Did you get that? I'm giving you seven differences quickly. In a contract, you enter a contract to protect yourself for your own good. But in a covenant, you enter for the other person. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, those that are single are only bothered with how they will please the Lord. He said, but those that are married will be concerned about the things of this world, how they will please their spouse. In a covenant, those are covenant explanations. In a covenant, you enter to serve the other person. It is actually forbidden for you to enter a covenant to serve yourself. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? This is why if they are still begging you and pushing you to pay tithe and all those things, then you don't understand how the covenant works. Are you getting me? In a covenant, you come and serve the other person. In a contract, you serve yourself. That's the first major difference. In a covenant, you don't look out for yourself. In a covenant, you are only asking, how can I make life better for you? How can I make life better for you? If every couple comes together for the purpose of bettering each other's lives, for the purpose of serving each other, there can't be a problem in your house. You are too selfish and self-centered. A covenant doesn't work when you... What is Matthew 6:33? What does Matthew 6:33 say? I can't hear you. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Ah, your pastor is here. Let's do it well. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Hope you realize that our relationship with God is a covenant. Do we know that? So you will see the similarity between our relationship with God and our relationship with our spouse. They are the same thing. The same conditions. The principle to be blessed in the kingdom is Matthew 6:33. Seek first what? Did they say seek your own things that you want to be added? No. Same way marriage works. If you want to really be blessed in marriage, seek first the good of the other person. They say every other thing shall be what? Added. That's the same way it works. Come on, say I hear. Number two. It says, in a contract, you enter it because you don't have trust. In a covenant, you enter it because you have trust. I'll say that again. You enter a contract, you sign a contract because you don't trust anybody. But in a covenant, you enter it because you have trust. There are two different things. Why do you sign a contract with a business person? Because you don't know what the person can say tomorrow. Can somebody sell land for you and just give you by handshake? Eh? That this land here is 10 million. Give me 10 million. Take it. Is that how they sell land? Nobody can sell land like that for you. There has to be a contract. Am I correct? You enter a contract because you don't trust. But you enter a covenant because you trust. I see many people hiding their money from their spouse. I laugh. You have given your life to somebody, but you are protecting your money. So in your mind, your money is more valuable than your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You hide your money in the safe. You hide your money in different accounts that you don't want your partner to know. You hide your PIN code. You hide your ATM card. You hide everything, but you are exposed. Your spouse is the easiest person that can kill you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I watch Crime Channel a lot. It's one of the only channels I watch. When they investigate, when there is a crime and they investigate to catch the person. Real life ones. I watch it a lot. Whenever somebody dies, the number one suspect is their spouse. Your husband or wife can kill you easily. You are hiding your money, but you're exposing your life. So in your mind, you think is your life need your money needs to be protected, but your life doesn't need protection. So if you die, who will have the money? You are protecting the wrong thing. That's why you must marry who you trust from beginning. One woman was having a bath. She ran out with soap on her body, almost naked. Bwah! They said, "What happened, madam?" She said she left her wardrobe open and her husband is in the room. It's funny, but many people are doing things like that. You enter a covenant because of trust, not because you don't have trust. But you enter a contract because you don't trust anybody. Are you here, somebody? Very important, very different. Number three. This one is getting more serious now. Number three, you enter, when you in a contract, there is limited sharing. In a covenant, there is unlimited sharing. I'll say it again. In a covenant, in a contract, there is limited sharing. That means a contract is only limited to the area we have the contract. But in a covenant, there is unlimited sharing. Every part of my life is open to you. If, for instance, my contract with my landlord is only regarding our house that I'm renting from him. He has no business to tell me what to eat. He has no business telling me that you're eating too much. How can you eat 3 pieces of meat? Our contract doesn't reach that area. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. My landlord in the house has no business with my office at in my where I work. But in a covenant, there is unlimited sharing. That means everything involves the other person. No more my money is our money. Unlimited sharing. That's why. Same thing applies to our relationship with God. That's why when you are still struggling to pay tithe or to give, you don't even understand that God even owns you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You are hiding your money. He owns you. You. If he owns you, you can't be asking if he owns your money. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. Unlimited sharing. It's no more my money, it's our money. I and my wife have run a joint account forever as far as we started my relationship, marriage. What are you hiding? You want to keep your money safe, but your life is at risk. You say, my mother and my wife needs money. Who should I give to? Wrong question. Is our mother needs our money? Somebody get what I'm saying? It's our own. Women here that are calling with your mother-in-law, you need to start seeing her as your mother. It's not his mother. You see, there are many things we say and do that shows we don't understand what covenant is. From the day you are marrying this person, he said, your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Those are covenant terms. You are inheriting all assets and liabilities. So you need to think well before you marry. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you marry someone, you are inheriting everything. So think well before you marry. Hallelujah. You inherit all assets and liabilities. So it's not my mother-in-law, she's my mother. You see, the reason why you are tolerant about with your own mother and intolerant with your mother-in-law, because you are still seeing them as separate people. You know, there are things your mother will do, you won't be angry. But if your mother-in-law does it, you'll be angry. Somebody's not listening to what I'm saying. There are many things your mother will say, you won't be angry. But once your mother-in-law says the same thing, you are angry. Because in your mind, you are still separating them. You inherited everything. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. It's our mother. It's our money. Hallelujah. Unlimited sharing. Everything belongs to us. It's not my phone. It's our phone. He said they were both naked. The man and his wife. And they were not what? Those are covenant terms. Like I said, many people don't know this thing. So they see treat marriage as stay there, I stay here. We don't even know where this thing is going yet. That's not covenant. That's not marriage. They spelt it out in Genesis. Said they were both naked. That means they had nothing to hide. They were both naked and not ashamed. Some men here, your password has password. You're always picking call that you go to the bathroom to pick. Or you go outside to pick. What are you hiding? That's not how the covenant works. They were both naked. Say, I want my privacy. Marriage is not for you if you're looking for privacy. Say, they were both naked. The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. No privacy. It's our own. It's our own. So somebody say, if I tell my wife all the money I have, she will spend it. That's not true. You are the one not having proper covenant meetings. I remember one day, Pastor, I was in a shopping mall because when my program was on TV, I always preach that anywhere I go with my wife. It's only on rare occasions you will see us separate. Most times we are together. So I always say that on TV. So one day, one man met me at one shopping mall. So he saw me alone. He said, Pastor, you say you're always with your wife. Where is she now? I said, well, she's here with me, but she's just buying something in one of the shops there. And the man said, eh? You left her alone? I said, yes. He said, without the money? I said, yes. He said, won't she finish it? Because this is the average thinking of most men. That I can't tell my wife all the money I have. Number one, when you are pretending to be something you are not, she will keep demanding things you cannot afford. Because she doesn't know what you have, what you don't have. That's number one. Number two, even if you have a certain amount and you are keeping it, why are you keeping it? If there is a purpose for saving it, share the vision with her. Some men say, I'm keeping money, I have plans. What are the plans? Tell your partner the plans. Because if two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Are you here, somebody? So many men don't share their dreams. They're just keeping money for keeping sake. There are people that have died and their family doesn't even know how much the man had. Some money is in the bank today as we are speaking. The families can't claim it. Because the man was hiding it. He thought he will live forever. We have seen cases, me and my wife have handled. The man got stroke on his right hand. Couldn't sign check. Children can't go to school. Because stroke doesn't knock when he's going to come. Only him can sign the house. Share the vision. Why are you keeping? If you are keeping the money, why is it being kept? See, if you share the vision and involve her, she will save more than you. She will save more than you. You want to buy land or build house? Share the vision. But you see, many men, the reason why many men can't share the vision is that many men are selfish. If you share the vision and involve her, she will save more than you. Women are dream makers. Dream makers. You are saving money to buy land or to build house. Very simple. Tell her that, honey, see, this money we are saving, my dream is to build you a house. Say, in that house, you will have a place, your own wardrobe, where you arrange your shoes. Different color. Different ones from left to right. Then your dresses will be on this side. You see, you are sharing the vision, it involves her. Not, I want to build a house in my village so that people will know that I've arrived. When you share a vision that involves her, she will even save more than you. Women are usually better managers than men. And this is scientifically and statistically proven. Is somebody get what I'm saying? The kind of money most women use to cook soup, if you give man that money, he will use the whole money to buy only crayfish. All the whole money. He will come back and say, only crayfish I could buy. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Many of us grew in the homes where there was always quarrel of chop money. And no matter what, how much small money our father gives our mother, she can produce different meals from that food, that money. Different soup. That will be complete. Give man that money. He will just go to one canteen and eat. And come back and rest. I can't come and kill myself. So women are great managers. Share the vision with her. The man was surprised. Hey, you left her without him. I said, she knows the amount of money we have. And she knows what the plans are. I trust her. What am I chasing her for? It's when you don't share the vision that she spends like that. It's when she thinks she has to take care of herself and you won't take care of her that she spends like that. Share the vision. She will save more than you. She will contribute. The money will grow faster in her hand than in your hand. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There is unlimited sharing when it's a covenant. No hiding of phone, no hiding of money. Share. Let them know. He said they were both naked. The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Next point. Number what are we in? Number four. A contract is signed by ink, but a covenant is signed by blood. A contract is signed by ink, but a covenant is signed by blood. Everything here about the covenant between a man and a woman is the same between God and man. Same thing. That's how a covenant works the same way. That's why God wants to be part of all your life. Then you too be part of all his life. He said all things are yours. Are you getting what I'm saying? Same thing applies. All these principles I'm reading to you, they apply to even our relationship with God. If you read Ephesians 5, you will see God comparing our relationship with our spouse with that of the church and Christ. Are you here, somebody? See here, let's read it together. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Next verse. He says, so you see that Christ didn't look for out for his own good. He looked out first for our own good. Then he also asked us to seek first the kingdom of God. That's how a covenant works. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse the washing of water by the word. Next verse. He says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle and all those things. Next verse. He says, so ought men to do what? Love their wives as their own what? Bodies. He that loveth his wife does what? Loves himself. Next verse. He said, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord what? So you see now they are connecting. They've rounded from marriage to enter Lord and the church. Please take notes. Next verse. He said, we are what? I can't hear you. We are what? Members of his what? Body. It means us and Christ are in the same what? Body. That's why I said the two become one flesh. It's important you get this, guys. He said, and of his flesh and of his what? Bones. Next verse. He said, for this cause, do you see? They move from marriage to church back to marriage, showing that they are all connected. So they jump back to, for this cause, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall do what? Join unto his wife and they shall both become what? Where did we just read this same thing now? Genesis. This is New Testament. They still connected the fact that we are one body. We are one. The reason why many people's Christian life doesn't get results is that they still see God as far from them. You and God too are one. He said, all things are yours. Whatever I own is your own. Demand it. That's why you will not see anywhere in the Bible God say, beg me. He will say, ask me. There's a difference. You are begging for something that is not your right. When it's your right, you ask for it. Somebody didn't understand what I said. That's why God too shouldn't beg you to bring your tithe. Oh. It's not a begging issue. It's not an argument issue. When you're in a covenant with God, you give him his own freely and you also are bold to collect your own freely. Next verse. Is there a next verse? Okay? He said, this is a great what? Mystery. But I speak concerning what? So do you see how he was mixing the two? When they use the word mystery in the New Testament, it doesn't mean something that is hidden. It means something that was hidden, but that is being revealed. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So God was trying to tell you something here, that you and your partner, you are like Christ and the church. You are both one now. And that's powerful if you can tap into it. We're in number what? Okay, we mentioned that in number four, we said a contract is signed by ink, a covenant is signed by what? Blood. Now, how is it signed by blood? The real marriage starts when there's sexual intercourse. That's where marriage starts. The ceremony we do is just ceremony. That's why there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have white wedding or even church wedding. Now, as a Christian that has sense, of course, it's good for you to do church wedding. But I'm saying, in biblically, you will never see a wedding mentioned in the New Testament. You know why? Because whether it's court wedding, traditional wedding, or church wedding, in the eyes of God, all those three are just ceremonies. The covenant starts when there is sexual intercourse and consummation. That's why you can't be sleeping around. He said, we that is joined to an harlot, he that is sleeps to a harlot is joined to that harlot. That's how God sees it. The joining is the sex. So that's why as a single person, you can't be sleeping around. It's not because we are wicked. It's not because God is wicked. God is saying you are joining with different people before time. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. You will never see court wedding in the Bible. You will never see traditional wedding in the Bible. You will never see church wedding in the Bible. All of them are good. But for God, they are all ceremony. The rejoining in the eyes of God is when there's sexual exchange. Because when you do sexual exchange, blood has exchanged. Because covenant is signed by blood. That's why usually when a woman is a virgin and she has sex for the first time, her hymen is broken and blood flows. Unfortunately, people are wondering why marriages are not working today. It's very simple. People are joining with plenty other people before they marry. So by the time they reach where they marry, the joining has now become weak. It's true. It is hard to see adultery in a case where two virgins marry. It's very hard. A lot of sexual dissatisfaction is because of the appetite some people have built before time. You have learned how to hang on fan. You say you are looking for sexual experience because you are looking for sexual compatibility. There's nothing like sexual compatibility. There's only sexual commitment. So you are spinning on fan now. You are PhD in sex. You're not going to marry OND in sex. You can never be satisfied. Somebody getting what I'm saying? In the eyes of God, the joining of the covenant is when you have sex. In fact, in Bible days, if you marry someone and they are not a virgin, you are free to report the case and they will stone her to death there. In Bible days, it was that serious. It was that serious. If you marry someone that time, what will happen is that your in-laws are the one that will lay the bed. These are all in the Bible. If you marry, your in-laws will come and lay the bed and they will go and wait outside. It's not that they are going, no. Everybody will wait outside and their friends and family will wait with them. Two of you will enter the room and they will be checking time for you. Oh yeah, do more gonna do the thing. And they will lay a white bed sheet. The moment both of you have sex, they are waiting. If blood flows, the man will carry that white bed sheet, come to the window and show them blood. Once he shows them blood, they will now celebrate the wedding, because that's when the wedding has officially happened. They will now clap, woo, 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 and continue their celebration and leave people. But if he has sex, nothing happened, he will come to the window and do like this. And they will drag the woman out and stone her to death. In some cases, they will even stone her family to death because they raised the prostitute. It was that bad that time. The covenant is signed by blood. That is why one of the only cases where God says it's okay to divorce is when there's adultery. Because at that point, that person has broken one covenant and entered another covenant. That's one of the only reasons God says it's okay to divorce. Interestingly, God didn't even say you should divorce if there's domestic violence. Now, me, I will tell you to divorce if there's domestic violence. But I'm saying God did not specifically say run away. He still thinks those ones can be remedied. He still feels maybe we can find a way around it. But he says once there's adultery, He said he has cut this covenant and started another one. He said if you want to leave at that point, you can leave. He's not saying you must leave, but he said he gave them the right to. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. I'm showing you how serious this thing is. So a contract is signed by ink. A covenant is signed by blood. Number what am I in? 5. In a contract, the parties are seen as two separate individuals. But in a covenant, the two become one. We've elaborated this already. If I enter a contract with my landlord, we are not one. He's my landlord, I'm his tenant. But in marriage, once we enter a covenant, we cease to be two, we become one. Number what? Number 6. A contract is breakable and a covenant is unbreakable. A contract, it's my rent, my landlord is one year. After 1 year, it's renewable. He can break it, I can break it. After 1 year. But a covenant is till death do us part. Is somebody following what I'm saying? A covenant is meant to be for life. That's why even when you divorce, some part of you and that person is still together. Divorce is never an easy option. That's why God says, I hate divorce. Not because it can never happen, but it's just too painful. Divorce means the forceful tearing apart of people that were one before. And if something is one, if there's a piece of paper that is one, if I tear it apart, there's no way it can remain smooth. Some part of this one will be on that side. Some part of this one will be on that side. It will be jaga-jaga. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. That's what happens to your spirit and your soul. Divorce is never an easy option. Yes, sometimes some people don't have a choice. But the truth is that whether you stay or you leave, no one is easy. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Divorce is never easy. It's painful. Divorce. Going to die means two. Divorce means force. Divorce is hard. Are you here, somebody? A covenant is unbreakable. It's till death do you part. That's why you can't jump in with anybody and 3 months after say, I'm done. If you understand the seriousness, you will pray well, think well, go through the school of marriage you have here. Go through all the counseling processes you have here. There are many people I have advised. Don't marry. They are rushing. I have some basic characteristics of marriages that we have problem. I can mention it to you. Number one, when one or both of the parties are not financially stable, there's problem already. Number two, when both of them don't do counseling. Number three, when they are rushing. There are many ways you can tell people that have a high chance of divorce. When you are rushing, there's a problem. You will rush in and you will rush out. Check most marriages. I'm talking about young people now. Most marriages that have crisis, ask them number one question. Did you do premarital counseling? You will hear, we were rushing. We had people that were coming from abroad, so we couldn't postpone it. So 2 months after you're rushing and you... I can never forget one of my close guys. He was one of my associates. He wanted to get married to somebody. I said, okay, no problem. Then one day I was mistakenly going over his phone. I don't know what I was doing on his phone that day. And I saw a message this girl sent to him. When I saw the message, I discovered she wasn't yet spiritually grounded enough to understand what marriage was. So I told him, don't marry her. He didn't agree. I said, don't marry her. He didn't agree. For over 2 weeks, we were meeting every day to debate. I was, you know, when the debate and say, with these points of mine, I hope I have convinced you. I'm not convinced you. I've not confused you. Debate. I will call people together and be giving him reasons why he shouldn't marry this girl. He didn't agree. In fact, it got so bad that he went behind my back to go and marry the girl. This is my close person, my close associate. As in, his parents were even asking him, why is pastor not at your wedding? He said, I traveled. He made an excuse for me. I heard that they were married months after they were married. That's when I heard. About a year. From the marriage. One year. The girl sent him text message that I can't continue with this relationship. Pastor, she called the marriage relationship. She sent it by text message. That I can't continue this relationship. I said, this is what I saw. That she didn't understand the gravity of what she was entering. Later, we found out she was pregnant for another person. I said, I saw it. That's what I was telling you. Because marriage is a covenant. You don't enter it with drunken eyes. Your eyes must be clear. Then you get other people that are not in love to also look at it with you. That's why you have counselors. And thank God for a church like this that has a strong marriage system. You even have a marriage school. Ah. It helps you. It helps you remove, eliminate all the mistakes, all the paths you are not seeing. You are in love. Now love is blind. But those people in the counseling unit, they are not in love. They will look, ask you questions that will help you know whether you are serious or not. Are you here, somebody? I remember a couple like that. I'll give you that gist tomorrow. Let me not waste time today. Don't worry. Come tomorrow now. I can't finish everything one day. So, a contract is breakable. A marriage, a covenant is unbreakable. And the last one, and I will take time to pray. In a contract, it is the law that is witness between two of you. But in a covenant, it is God that is the witness. This one is serious. In a contract, it is the law of the land, court, police, that defends the contract. If you and somebody sign a contract and their story, you go to police, then police take you to court. The law of the land defends it. And with the law of the land, you can't always be sure of justice. Because sometimes, man no man, bribery, favoritism, different things, they can even hide the truth. Am I correct? But in a covenant, God is the judge. You can't deceive him. He knows who is saying the truth and who is lying. That's the scripture we read in Malachi. That God was no longer receiving their offering. They were crying. They say, why? God said, because of how you are treating the wife of your youth. He said, I am witness between you. DJ, bring that scripture in Malachi. He said, I'm the witness between you and the wife of your youth, the wife of your covenant. God said, I'm the witness. So in covenant, God is the one that punishes anybody defaulting. Are you here, somebody? So no need to fight your husband or fight your wife. When they are misbehaving, report them to the higher authority. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If many women and many men knew the authority they had, they would stop crying in secret. And they will invoke the covenant to speak for them. If someone is messing up with your husband or your wife, stop shouting and panicking. Go to the court of heaven. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Go to where? The court of heaven. God knows how to deal with the two people of annoying you. He said, what God has joined together, nobody shall put us on. He knows how to deal with the people. He said he was stopping their offering, stopping their finances. They were crying. And they asked God, why are we suffering? God said, because of how you are treating your wife. And you see, the way the covenant works, if you fight for yourself, God can't fight for you. That's why he said, you shall hold your peace and I will fight for you. That's how covenant works. Once you fight for yourself, they will leave you to fight. You see, when you are in a covenant, you are in a tag team with God. You know what they call tag team? Mama Manuela told me she used to watch wrestling when she was young. Tag team is when you and somebody are partners, but two of you can't be in the ring at the same time. So once one is in the ring, the other one will stand outside. Once you want the other person to come in, you hit his hand, then you go out. Then he comes in. When you are in a covenant with God, you are in a tag team partnership. Two of you can't be in the ring at the same time. That's why he said, you hold your peace and I will fight for you. So even if your husband is annoying you, stop scolding your husband. Stop confronting your husband. Stop shouting at him. When you are doing that, you are fighting for yourself. Still be loving him. Say, honey, I just love you. He's annoying you. Say, I love you. God bless you. What will you eat? Do you want your favorite soup? Cook his favorite soup. Then the night, say, God of heaven, God of covenant, covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. There are some songs that if my wife is singing it, I know I'm in trouble. I'm telling you, ask her. She's laughing. She knows it's true. If I just hear her singing this song, I'll say, what did I do? Tell me. Because I don't like trouble in my life. Should I tell you this song, one of the song? Should I tell you one of the song? You put in a like story too much. If my wife is singing, you are too faithful to fail me. I'll say, what have I done? Come on, tell me. What have I done? No need to call my father. Just tell me I'm here. Because I don't know what God will handle this matter. Just tell me. I don't know what might not work again. Some men are wondering why their business is not working. It's the way you are treating your wife. You have one small business now, you have 13 girlfriends. If they increase you more than this, won't you kill yourself? Won't you kill yourself? I wonder why they are closing the contract. You are too faithful to fail me. Ah, I say I'm in trouble. Lord have mercy. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha Omega. Let your husband know that you are calling one that is bigger than him. Mm-hmm. Stop shouting and crying. One girl disturbing your husband, you are crying, you are panicking. You are calling the girl to insult her. Is it insult we are looking for? Tell her, God bless you. I'm a woman of prayer, just to let you know. That I'm calling forces bigger than all of us to settle this matter. Don't worry, continue. Is that what I'm saying? When you are sure of your God, you'll be confident. And you'll be calm. He's a just God. Do you understand? He's a what? Just God. 1 Peter 3:7, we read it earlier today. He said, treat your wife according to knowledge so that your prayers will not be hindered. So there's a God in heaven and he reigns in the affairs of men. He's a just judge. He's better than the high court. Better than court of appeal. Better than the magistrate court. Those ones can be bribed. Those ones can be do favoritism. But God of heaven is just. Call on him. Then you go and rest. This your FBI over your husband can't stop anything. If a man wants to do something bad, he will do it. So go and rest. Just worship. When he comes and welcome him, say, honey, welcome. God bless you. Be smiling. You say, why are you happy? Say, don't worry. Are you here, somebody? If you're a man in the house, listen, you can chance your wife. Oh. You can bully your wife. But there's somebody you can bully. He's waiting for you. Because one day you will need something urgently. You will come and be knocking at his door. And he will take you up like this man here. He said, treat your wife according to knowledge so that your prayers be not hindered. Pastor, I was preaching one church in Lagos. But most of the people there were Igbo people. You know, most Igbo people are traders and importers business. So, I was preaching there. Only the women were happy. The men were not listening. It looked like somebody dragged them for the meeting. So they're just busy doing that. I know they were not listening. So I read that scripture for them, 1 Peter 3:7. I said, your container that is seized is the way you're treating your wife. Eh? What the hell is it? Oh, so give me a container. Container. They began to listen. So if you're here, if you don't want your container to be seized, better treat your wife well. Are you here, somebody? She's your favorite pipe. So tell her, mommy, what should I buy for you? She's your favorite. Don't play with it. The God of heaven can never be deceived. You can't tell him lies. He's a just judge. He's a just judge. He's the covenant witness. The covenant defender. Are you here, somebody? He's the covenant defender. Hallelujah. I said what? Hallelujah. Covenant defender. He can appear to people at night. Are you here, somebody? He can appear to people at night. He is a terrible God. As he's gentle, he's also powerful. When he needs to treat you with love, he gives you loving kindness. But when he needs to fight for you, you will see that he's a consuming fire. Somebody get what I'm saying? He's a multifaceted God. He can be lamb when he needs to be lamb, but he can be lion when he needs to be lion. Are you here? For some of you here, there are some people God is going to appear to in their dream this night. I said there are some people that on your behalf, God will appear to them this night. Whatever evil they were planning for you or against you, I decree God will terrify them in the name of Jesus. Listen. This week, there are people that will call you to apologize to you. Yeah. And you'll be asking them, what did you do to me? They say, don't worry. That somebody appeared to me at night and warned me very well. I decree you shall hold your peace and God will fight for you.
I
say you shall hold your peace and God will fight for you. Can we rise to our feet?